shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I was drunk. I want to snuggle. Nothing like crazy. Like, I really...
Shortly after 2 o'clock today, a Metropolitan Police officer was traveling in a 30...
The lead investigators currently on this case are the Texas Rangers.
You can't just throw this at me.
Well, Dad's in the doghouse again.
Thank you for telling me what I already know.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows cannot go. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to our radio program. Boy, if you missed our pre-show, I just got done about an hour and 15 minutes of just ripping the FCC, and that was in our uncensored pre-show on video. If you want some commentary that the FCC can't touch, you ought to check that out. PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass. Listen to our archives. Get the podcasts. Get the classic Phils. You get more bang for your buck with our website than any other radio website in the history of the world, in the history of man on this planet, in the history of Marconi and whatever it was he did. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up tonight, we are going to be talking about, I don't like looking at little tiny girls dressed up like Madonna with conical brassieres. It's just, call me crazy, but that doesn't really exactly gun my engine, you know. And we got more of these little kids that are being put into these beauty pageants by these warped and degenerate parents. And that's exactly, I chose my words very carefully, warped and degenerate. Putting a kid into a Madonna brassiere? What the hell is wrong with some of these people? So we're going to have on the show later on Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is also similarly outraged. This hour, it is Don Mixa who will be talking with us about a Great Neck, New York law, a village on Long Island's Gold Coast banning smoking on the public sidewalks. Let's bring on Don Mixa. He's a professor of engineering at the University of Washington, and also talks with us about a lot of different social issues. Don, you having some coffee?
I just finished a cup of coffee, Phil, and I'm ready to go. We had a class meeting here at the coffee shop that we go to. So.
And I know that you are not only an engineering professor, but you've also been one that the students like to go to for social discussion, political discussion.
Yeah, I've got a very good relationship with my students. I really do. They appreciate the fact that I'm very open, very honest. I am a very progressive, if you want to call it that, very liberal in my political thinking. So, yeah, we have a good relationship.
All right. Now, this story here, I think, is right up the alley of any educator, and I know that you are involved in the re-education, is what you call it, of students vis-a-vis social custom, particularly smoking. But you know, in Great Neck, New York, it's a village on Long Island's Gold Coast, has banned smoking on public sidewalks in front of businesses. Did you hear that?
I did not hear about that particular story, Phil. I certainly am aware of the fact that there are different municipalities around the country that are doing that exactly.
All right. Now, the Great Neck Village Board approved the ban Tuesday night. It claims to be the first municipality in the state to enact such a restriction. The mayor, Ralph Kreitzman, says the ban was enacted after officials got complaints about smokers standing outside stores in the village. He says the law will also benefit pedestrians who might have been subjected to secondhand smoke. You're involved in something that is what you call the re-education, not only working at the university level, but at the high school level. About what?
Well, I think re-education is, when we talk about smoking, I think re-education is the wrong word to use. We used that in a press release that we did because we needed to have something for the press. I don't think it's re-education so much as it is slowing everybody down. I think we've rushed into something here that I don't fault protecting young people from the injurious effects of smoking. But I also have to tell you that we have not done a service to our young people by propagandizing the non-smoking position to such an extent that we have excluded all discussion on the opposite side.
And well, what discussion on the opposite side?
Well,
it certainly isn't physically good for people.
No, it is not physically good for you, but it is not necessarily a death sentence. That's number one. More importantly, I think we have to remember something, that when you take a cigarette or a cigar or a pipe out of the mouth or the hands of a young person, what you're doing is you are saying to them, you cannot do what Winston Churchill did. You cannot do what John Kennedy did. You cannot do, if you want a conservative, what Dwight Eisenhower did. You cannot do what some of the greatest people in the history of the world, great actors, Humphrey Bogart. You can't do what Humphrey Bogart did. You're not going to be able to do what Chuck Yeager did. You can't do, if you want athletes, even athletes smoke cigarettes. You can't do what Y.A. Tittle did. So you have taken from that young person a particular habit that was engaged in by great people that did not injure them, and in point of fact showed a certain style. And then here is
did you guys write, and I think I saw something, that, you know, they face death when they smoke, and that's something to admire.
We wrote the following thing. I wrote that when you look at the panache and the style of a Humphrey Bogart, who smoked cigarettes right up to the end of his life, even though he faced death by way of lung cancer, is that a negative message? I don't know. We look around us today, Phil, and I think you made a statement the other night that the only real courageous people we have in our society are in Afghanistan and Iraq. Well, I personally don't agree with that, because I don't support those wars. But I will give you this.
You don't deny that those are courageous men and women.
No, I don't deny that. But what I will tell you this: we do lack role models when it comes to courage and when it comes to guts and when it comes to young people walking on the edge. We do lack that.
And all right. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to be clear with my audience, and I think you need to be clear. You are talking to high school and college students about the benefits of smoking.
I'm talking to high school and college students about the positive reality of smoking. It's not necessarily the benefits of smoking, but it is the positive reality that smoking cigarettes, when you do smoke cigarettes, you are marked as an individual who is intelligentsia or an intellectual. You could be one who is a writer, one who is a thinker, an intellectual, someone who is a scientist, someone who is an artist, someone who is a business magnet. People that smoke cigarettes, people that smoke pipes, people that smoke cigars have traditionally in our society been among the most interesting people. And hence, that's why we have, and again, I would emphasize that, the most interesting people in our society have been people that smoke.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I gave up cigarette smoking a year ago because I had suffered a bout with H1N1 pneumonia.
Right.
What do you say to me?
Well, I think that, that's between you and yourself. If you really got shaken up by that, if you got spooked by that, then...
I don't know if you've ever had pneumonia.
I've never had it. I don't have any doubt that I would be able to deal with it, though.
Have you ever had... So you've never had pneumonia. Have you ever been put on an oxygen mask? Have you ever had to... all of these things that happen. I had this. I was in the hospital. As a result, I quit smoking.
It has never happened to me, Phil, but that's not important. I don't need for that to happen to me, for me to know that I could get pneumonia, and I wouldn't necessarily... get frightened and say, oh, geez, I gotta give up the cigarette. I think you probably overreacted.
I overreacted.
I think so. You smoked cigarettes, you said, since you were 14, right?
Yes.
Well, then the chances are that you were probably over the hump, the lung cancer hump, and that you were probably looking toward the next 20 years of your life smoking cigarettes and nothing happening to you. What you did is you traded in the image that you had as a cigarette smoker, the image that you shared with a Winston Churchill, with a James Dean. You're aware of James Dean.
And yes, of course I am.
Well, James Dean was the epitome of cool. that you might have shared with Gene Vincent, giving it that rock and roll image, that you might have shared with the Allen Ginsbergs, the Bob Dylans, if you want to go down the music line of thinking, and that you would share with great politicians as well. Dorothy Parker is a great thinker. But you gave up on that because you got scared. And that's the difference, Phil.
Well, you say that people that smoke cigarettes represent this very elite group of people. You say intellectuals.
That is correct.
You say that they're big politicians, that they are members of industry, and that when I gave up smoking cigarettes, I gave up my chance to be a member of that club. I don't quite understand that.
Well, I don't mean a member of that club.
Well, because I don't necessarily want to be a member of any club, you know.
No, I don't mean a member of that club. But what I am saying, Phil, is you gave up your chance to be seen as one of the special people in our society. Because smoking cigarettes, regardless of what you think about smoking cigarettes, people that don't smoke cigarettes have marked themselves. And again, people are going to think I'm saying this to be, you know, provocative, but people that don't smoke cigarettes have marked themselves as having less guts
than people that do smoke cigarettes.
That's it. And so I think we're missing an opportunity.
Having less guts than...
Yes, I think we're missing an opportunity, and that's why I go into the high schools, I go into the colleges, I say, smoke cigarettes if you want to, don't smoke cigarettes if you don't want to, but remember that when you are smoking cigarettes, you're in the company of a Winston Churchill. When you don't smoke cigarettes, you're in the company of what?
People that don't smoke cigarettes.
Well, most likely some health teacher or something, which is fine, but you are showing yourself to not have the kind of courage our country needs right now.
Again, I find that a very curious message for an educator.
Well, it may be, Phil, but our country desperately needs people with courage, and we are increasingly seeing fewer and fewer of them demonstrating courage. We're seeing fewer and fewer of them smoking cigarettes, smoking pipes, and exhibiting that kind of flair.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Have we gone overboard in this anti-smoking message? We're talking here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington. The story here from Great Neck, New York, they gave up, or I should say they banned smoking on a public street in Great Neck, New York, because it was irritating people. What about the secondhand smoke?
Well, I think that's if you'll pardon a pun, it's a smoke screen. I think it's a way of saying, well, I'm going to give up smoking, I'm going to get rid of smoking, because we don't want people to be irritated by it. Well, okay, you know, why don't you just come out and admit it? You don't want to smoke because you're scared. You don't want to smoke because you have lost whatever edge you might have had when you were a younger person, and you've decided that you want to comfortably settle back, you know, into a cocoon, and you're using as your excuse the fact that you are, worried about secondhand smoke. I just don't think it's genuine.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here. We're talking to Don Mixa, University of Washington engineering professor, on cigarette smoking and the fact that there is another side to that message. The fact is, when you smoke, you're a part of a group of people that includes Winston Churchill, Dwight Eisenhower, and a great many of the world's intellectuals. When you don't smoke, it shows you not to have the courage you thought you had. Also coming up later tonight, Steve Bozell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa joining us here on the Newsmaker line. We're talking about cigarette smoking. There's an awful lot of discussion about municipalities banning cigarettes, Professor Mixa. The most recent one being Great Neck, New York, and others. Here in California, Calabasas. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with Calabasas. There are communities here in Washington State as well. I disagree with it.
Yeah, but you disagree with it from the standpoint that you want young people to have the opportunity to experience smoking cigarettes.
I want young people. Look, Phil, let's take a look at America today. We are a failing country right now. We are a failing country when it comes to ideas. We're a failing country when it comes to, with the exception, as you said, of the young men and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. We're a failing country when it comes to courage. We're a failing country when it comes to intuition when it comes to managing industry, when it comes to creating. We are a failing country when it comes to a lot of things. I'm trying to tell young people, give yourself the tools, and I'm telling the parents this too, give yourself the tools that our great leaders had.
And you're talking about cigarette smoking?
Hold on for a minute, because I'm saying they need a self-image that is going to lift them up. And who had the brand, the historic brand? Well, it's the Pattons, it's the Churchills, it's the Eisenhowers, it's the Kennedys, it's all of these great men who were also tobacco users, smokers. And I can tell you that if you want to use as your hero an individual with guts, with determination, a leader who is willing to take risks, walk on the edge, sell themselves as a brand, you've got to find someone who smokes cigarettes. And our kids should know that. It's a tool.
So smoke cigarettes is what you're telling the kids.
I am saying it is an option. If you are finding yourself struggling and you're looking for that brand, that role model brand, pick up a pack of cigarettes, light one up, smoke it, look at yourself in the mirror. Who do you see? You're probably going to see a stronger person than you were 3 minutes ago.
And let me ask you a question. As long as you're going into high schools, how do you feel about parents that have undoubtedly come to you, Professor, and said, how dare you send that message to my kid?
Well, you know, you're right. I've had to deal with them, but I'm very good at neutralizing parents who are. I have a very good, and I thank God for this, I knock on wood, although I don't believe in God, I am an atheist, but I knock wood. I'm good at taking a hysterical parent and explaining to them the facts of life.
And how do you explain the facts of life to a parent? When a parent comes to you, and if it were me, I would say the following thing. What the hell are you telling my kid?
I can imagine. I would say the cigarette gives us confidence. Parents need to relax a bit to understand that I'm an educator and I have the kid's best interest in mind. Calm down. Trust me. Sit down. And if I have to, sometimes I got to be a little rough. I'll tell them to shut up. But my point is, let me work with the kids, because obviously your hysteria as a parent is not serving you, the kid, or the thing we're trying to accomplish.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-PHIL with Don Mixa, talking about cigarette smoking and it being a brand, it being something that a great men and great women did and could possibly enhance the confidence of young people. Here is Joe in Louisville. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I like to tell the professor there that, you know, if Winston Churchill knew what smoking that cigar would do to him later in life, I don't think the man would have been smoking it. And I'm a smoker, used to be a smoker myself. I smoked off and on since I was about 12 years old. And yeah. I quit. I had a friend of mine's mother tell me only a weak-minded individual couldn't quit smoking. So I quit for 7 years. All right? I put an image to my daughter that it was okay to smoke. She smoked.
Right.
She started smoking as a young child. Okay.
Right.
She became a nurse, an RN. Daddy quit smoking. I haven't had a cigarette in 3.5 years.
You said your daughter became a nun?
Not a nun, a nurse.
A nurse. An RN, a registered nurse.
An RN.
She realized she quit smoking. She realized what the downfall to smoking is. Do you know every cigarette that you smoke, you have one more chance of getting lung cancer?
Here's the thing, Joe. Winston Churchill. Here's what you're missing, and this is what
I'm
saying.
No, I didn't miss it.
If you were to say to Winston Churchill, do you know what that cigar is doing to you? You know what he would say? He would say, I don't give a damn. That's the kind of man we were dealing with. That's who you're dealing with a Winston Churchill.
He died.
He died. No, yes, he died. We're all going to die.
He did die.
We're all dying.
Okay,
right.
Listen.
But Churchill would have laughed in your face. He would have laughed at you if you would have said that cigar.
Let me finish. Now you're cutting me off.
Okay.
I've got an older brother that's 10 years older than me that's got cancer. I've got a younger brother.
Oh, good.
That's delicious.
You said cancer, yeah. That's not
cancer
good.
Cancer from smoking.
Yeah.
I've got a younger brother that's one year younger than me that's dying from lung cancer.
Right.
Okay.
Hold the line. We'll be right back with you and our guest, Don Mixa, and your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. Should we start telling kids that smoking cigarettes is something the world's great people did? Maybe you should try it. We need kids with guts.
We're losing the fight, Phil.
Bill Hendry Show.
Our number 877-876-PHIL with us is Professor Don Mixa from the University of Washington. And we got Professor Mixa on because he is addressing this the issue of smoking cigarettes, and it's being addressed in varying ways across the country, one of which is to ban it on sidewalks and in public places. That's what some municipalities are doing. Surprisingly, Professor Mixa, you're going out and you're talking to young people about smoking cigarettes being a good thing. And I have to ask you, you must know that you're going to get parents upset with you. You must know that you're going to be having people arguing with you. You must know all of these things.
Well, then let's talk about the gentleman who I was just talking to, this guy, Joe.
Well, Joe's on the line with us here, so let me get him back up, and you can address this. You can address this to him.
All right. Well, but Joe said that his daughter became a nurse as the result of she had been a cigarette smoker. Now, I think Joe should consider that she became motivated to become a nurse, because she had the time to sit and to meditate and to think and to reflect in a Dorothy Parker way, if you will, with a cigarette. What do I want to do with my life?
She didn't smoke while she was going to class.
No, I know that. I know that. But when she decided to become a nurse, she was smoking cigarettes in a very Dorothy Parker-esque way, if you will, or Lucille Ball was another. I know your daughter's a nurse. She's not an actress, but Lucille Ball smoked cigarettes in a way I think that it made her look classy. You see what I'm saying, Joe? So your daughter smoked cigarettes and then said, I'm going to be a nurse. Now,
sounds ridiculous.
No, but that's not... You may think it sounds ridiculous, but it's not.
Professor, smoking cigarettes is a habit. It's
smoking
cigarettes was found today like it was, like marijuana, for instance. Okay? It would be a class one narcotic. A class one narcotic. And you know that to be a fact.
Well, I know that there are a great many men, Joe, laying at the bottom of Pearl Harbor in the USS Arizona. They smoke cigarettes. Now,
oh, come on. Come on. Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that some great heroes.
To do with what the cigarette does to the body.
Great American heroes smoke cigarettes.
Don't use the men at the. That upsets me that you would say something like that. Those poor men. What has that got to do with anything?
No, I agree. They are heroes.
Okay, but don't use the deaths of those men to promote a smoking agenda.
Are you telling me that those men didn't smoke?
Professor,
yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
how old are you?
Okay.
How old are you?
That's a question I don't answer because I do some acting on the side.
How old are you, please?
I'm 49.
Okay, you're 49. Do you have an erectile dysfunction? Do you use Viagra?
Boy, aren't you, can I ask you why you're asking me something as sensitive as that?
Because if you quit smoking, you won't need the Viagra. Because the smoking restricts your blood flow. Did you know that?
Sir, you have gotten me to admit that I have erectile dysfunction.
I used to have erectile dysfunction. Because I smoked, and when I quit smoking, I don't have it no more. How about that? I don't need Viagra.
What's wrong?
I'm dry. You know, I feel like dry heaving.
I'm 52.
I didn't want to.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. And thank you for admitting that to us. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Alex in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh. Don, I'm a father of three and a certified teacher. God. And I have a question for you.
Yes, sir. I could just say one thing to the host. I want to say one thing to the host. I'm not here to talk about whether I have erections or don't.
I understand that, but he was talking to you about something medical.
I didn't perceive it that way. I perceived it that man was getting some sort of a thrill out of knowing whether he and I could get...
Go ahead, please, Alex.
Okay, I have a question for you.
God.
Do you or have you taken any money from the cigarette industry?
Have I taken money from the cigarette industry? What do you call the cigarette industry, sir?
The tobacco industry. Does the tobacco industry give you any money?
Well, would you say that if it was a shop, a smoke shop, that gave me money, is that the tobacco industry?
I would say it is, yeah.
I'm asking the caller. Would you say if I got money, if I got money from a smoke shop, you call that the tobacco industry, a small mom-and-pop shop that sells bongs?
Yes, we would.
Yeah,
because they still smoke.
Well, I don't think that's fair.
Well,
they are selling rolling papers and bongs.
Well, do they sell tobacco?
They sell Dunhill, yeah.
So what? Yes, whether you think it's fair or not, what it does do is it changes the view of what you consider to be altruistic motives in teaching youth. What you're really trying to do is sell something.
No, sir. I am the sponsorship money that helps me defray the cost of going from class to class and getting out a very important message, which is that Winston Churchill smoked cigars. Now, when you
there's Nobel Peace Prize winners who didn't smoke cigars. Your point is not logical. I'm an Emmy Award winner, and I accomplished great things without smoking.
Tell me someone as great as Winston Churchill who doesn't smoke cigars.
No,
someone
because
as
it's a
great.
Ridiculous premise, and you're changing the subject.
Excuse me, sir. You can't say that it's a ridiculous premise and say that you're done with the argument. I don't think that that's intellectually honest, sir.
Yes, but successfully changed the subject from my question back to your issue.
All right, I apologize. You were saying that I'm taking money from the tobacco industry, and I'm saying I'm taking money from a place called Silver Wax Surf Shop.
Right.
Is it a surf shop or is it a tobacco store?
They sell bongs.
And you've never taken any money from the cigarette industry.
Oh, from the cigarette industry. You said the tobacco industry.
Oh, come on, Professor. You know what we're talking about. You know what we're talking about, right?
I take a stipend from these two guys that have this head shop that sells cigarettes. And I also...
Now you're not answering. Now you're avoiding my question. My question
sir, I think
is,
I've answered it. I think I've answered.
No,
I'm sorry if I haven't. I'm sorry. I thought I did.
Well, you're avoiding this.
What is wrong with him? Excuse me. I got to ask something, Alex. Professor, I hear you coughing.
I was physically sickened by that man, Leo, or whatever his name is, talking about his erections.
All right. We're off of that call now, and we're back to Alex. Go ahead, sir.
All right. So the question that I haven't successfully gotten an answer to is, have you ever taken money from the cigarette or tobacco industry other than this shop?
I have not taken money from any large building in Louisville, Kentucky. Is that what you're at? I mean, I can't believe we're talking about this.
Large building in Louisville, Kentucky?
Well, he's saying cigarette industry. Have I taken money from a guy that sells cigarettes? Yes.
You have?
Yeah. The smoke shop and the newsstand.
All right, now that's two stores. So there's a head shop and a newsstand?
There's a newsstand down the street from my townhouse. And they give me free cigarettes.
Still avoiding my question.
They give me free. I can't answer it any other way. I can't answer it any other way.
Okay, you can answer yes or no. It's a yes-no question.
All right, I will say no.
No. So you take money from a smoke shop.
I take free cigarettes from the newsstand, and I take money from the head shop.
So you get free cigarettes. Sorry, Alex. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Let the man talk because...
So, all right. God, so what you originally presented as having a motive of helping boost the self-esteem and image of youth is actually a way for you to feed your addiction.
If you call getting 2 free packs of cigarettes a day feeding my addiction, I would tell you that there are easier ways of doing it. I could certainly just mooch cigarettes off my students. I could, you know, save up.
Maybe they wouldn't be smoking if you weren't trying to get them to smoke.
But I mean, don't you think it's pretty ridiculous doing lectures, telling kids that they can be like Winston Churchill just so I can get 2 free packs of Marlboros a day from a newsstand? Think about it, sir.
Well, we are thinking about it, and you said that you didn't get money from the cigarette industry, but you're getting 2 free packs of Marlboros a day from a newsstand.
Yeah, and you guys want to turn that into the Brown and Williamson scandal. Wow.
All right. Let's take another phone call. I appreciate your call, Alex. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Henry in San Antonio, Texas. Henry, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say, basically, what I'm getting from the professor, so-called professor here, is that in order for us to be established in the society, we need some kind of crutch to or a stepping stone to get on that way. And basically, cigarette smoking is what's going to take us there. And, I mean, to me, that sounds completely ridiculous.
It's if you look at it this way, do you want to be as significant to this world as James Dean was, let's say? Do you want to be as significant to this world as, again, I go back to Churchill, or do you want to be as significant to this world as, for instance, I don't know, Kennedy or well, then they were all smokers. Humphrey Bogart was a smoker.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that in order to make it of stature of that, then I would need to smoke cigarettes. So
Let me ask you this question. Were they great people? Yes. Let's just say Winston Churchill, was he great? Yeah. Did he smoke? Yes, he did. Now, are you going to call Winston Churchill stupid? No, you're not. He smoked cigars. I say that if that's something that gives you the confidence to be a Winston Churchill with a cigar in your face, I'll tell you something.
Let me ask you a question. Winston Churchill wore a big derby hat. What if this guy wears a derby hat?
If that helps him, I don't think in this society that guy, the gentleman I'm talking to, Henry, wearing a derby is going to make him feel...
What I'm trying to establish is how is smoking going to establish me feeling better and more confident about myself? It doesn't make
any
sense.
Because the world's most successful and the world's most interesting people smoked. And if you want to be interesting,
okay,
instead of maybe you aren't, I don't know, but you don't sound interesting, but maybe you are interesting. And I would say that you can be if you smoke.
Yeah, we get that.
If I'm an aspiring musician, and it's known that various musicians do heroin and narcotics, so does that mean that I should do that to establish myself as a musician?
No, just cigarettes.
But that's what you're saying in smoking. It's the exact same thing.
No, I'm not.
It's just a different.
No.
It's just a different particular drug.
No, yeah, that's right. Don't do that drug. I'm talking about tobacco. Okay, there is a difference between heroin and tobacco.
But what I'm saying is your concept.
Right.
What I'm saying is your concept can be established.
You blew it.
Your concept can be played in any other way. That way.
No, you blew it. It's no good.
What do you mean he blew it?
He blew it. I'm talking about cigarettes, and he wants to go into heroin. And I'm a teacher. I'm not going to let him do that to me. Make me look like an idiot.
So,
I'm
yeah,
the teacher. He's the
student. I know I might be making you look like an idiot right now, because what I'm saying is completely irrelevant to what.
No,
what you're saying
completely
is
irrelevant.
No, we can only talk about cigarettes.
If you were in my class,
but you're
I would
saying
say,
that you can do it in any
out.
Other way.
No, I'm saying you have to smoke cigarettes. And only cigarettes can lead you to the Valhalla of looking cool.
Oh, aha! Looking cool.
Mr. Henry, you brought a man on who wanted to start comparing erections with me. I got sick. Then comes this guy, Henry, throws me a curveball. I'm still dry retching.
Henry, thank you very much. Good points. 877-877-876-PHIL.
Well, I don't know what is particularly funny. It's particularly in regard to that, that Winston Churchill smoked cigars.
We know that Winston Churchill smoked cigars and Humphrey Bogart and all of these guys. And you're saying that if a kid smokes cigars and stuff just like Winston Churchill and Humphrey Bogart, he's going to have an image of himself as a success and will go out and conquer the world, but only if he's still smoking cigarettes. I mean, do you have to pirouette in front of a mirror in the morning?
I didn't say anything about, boy, you really like to take it to the... Mr. Henry, you and your callers tonight have taken it to a homoerotic level every single time.
What do you mean homoerotic?
This guy says, do you get erections? Do you get erections? Huh? Huh? Can you tell me, please? Huh?
And no, he did not say that. He was making a point about blood pressure.
And then you come on with pirouetting in front of a mirror like I'm, what, am I wearing tights? What the hell? So I am saying to you, that if a young person, you heard me.
Yeah, I did hear you. 877-876-PHIL. Smoking cigarettes, smoking tobacco, pipes, cigars. These are all things that some of the world's most interesting people did at one time. Some of the world's great names, some of the world's greatest achievers, our heroes, our soldiers, and so on. Winston Churchill. So therefore, according to Professor Mixa, we do our children a disservice by at least not opening them up to that side of tobacco use, the use of tobacco by brilliant people. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Do you think our high school students and our college students should be getting that message in class? 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show. Steve Bozell next hour.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
What the hell?
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number 877-876-PHIL. Next hour is Stephen Bozell on another one of these disturbing child beauty pageants of some kind. A three-year-old girl wearing a Madonna-style bra. We'll talk with it. Talk about it with Mr. Bozell, who's a father and a concerned parent. With me here is, for the last segment here, is Professor Don Mixa from the University of Washington. As we talk about cigarette smoking, tobacco use, that there's been such a move to keep people from smoking cigarettes, Professor, that you think it has hurt the character of the nation. And you've listened to caller after caller here saying that tobacco use is destructive to the body, could very well be destructive to the mind for all I know.
No, hold on for a minute, okay?
I'm not saying, but...
You want to take this to a place where you're going to win the argument, even with, unsubstantiated statements.
Well, I'm just saying, doesn't it stand to reason that if you're smoking, that smoke is taking up space in the blood, otherwise occupied by oxygen?
But the smoke doesn't go into the blood. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the nicotine and the other additives and the other the chemical reality of that cigarette and the smoke is taking up space in the blood that otherwise would be taken up by oxygen.
Well, again, I have to go back to the original point that I was making, Phil, and that is that the greatest men and women in the history of this world were cigarette and tobacco and pipe smokers, Winston Churchill. Let me tell you something. If you don't buy Winston Churchill, if that isn't good enough for you, if you need some other example, even more grand than Winston Churchill, let's go ahead and talk, and I know you don't want me to say it, but I think it needs to be said, and I think your audience would appreciate truth. I know that talk radio is about truth. I'm going to give you some truth. You know as well as I do that laying there at the bottom of Pearl Harbor is the USS Arizona.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. The USS Arizona. And also are the lives taken of those men. Now, I believe that it needs to be said. The men that died were most likely cigarette smokers, and the ones that survived and could swim for it were not. So what did we get?
That's an insult to everybody and anybody associated with that day.
Well, just because you say it doesn't make it so, Mr. Henry. So what did we get? We got a bunch of guys that didn't smoke cigarettes swimming for it. And those other guys, the guys that smoked the Lucky Strikes, Chesterfields, Pall Mall, the guys that were smoking those Army-Navy cigarettes, My son makes it. He goes, ooh. He makes a sound effect. I can't do it. Ooh. That's it.
And what does that mean?
When the boat goes down.
And all right. So thank you very much. And I doubt seriously.
Is this the end of the hour?
Yeah, it's the end of the hour. And I doubt seriously very much if anybody's going to have you back in their classroom, man, if they heard this. Because to my way of thinking, it's disrespectful. It is.
How is it disrespectful? Just humor me. How is it disrespectful to say that the guys that swam for it were probably non-smokers? How else are you going to make it? You got to have lung power.
I just think that if you're talking about cigarette smoking, it's one thing to talk about Churchill. It's another thing to talk about Pearl Harbor. Good luck to you.
Yeah, you don't mean that.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, Professor Mixa. Coming up next, a 3-year-old girl sports a Madonna-style bra on a reality show. One of many incidences of children sporting adult wear on different television programs and different festivals. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, talks to us about this child. Her name is Mia, but we don't know the names of the parents. Who are the parents that put this kid on the stage? We'll find out here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.